Well, here we are in 1 Corinthians 11. And this is really, we might call it today, a hot button issue. This whole relationship of man to woman within society, within the church, and especially when you bring in the term headship. Wow. This is a tough passage. So, let's see how we can get through it. So, and I like the last line, do not be contentious. That's my last point. So if you disagree with me, don't get all bothered by it. It will bother you when you eat pie. Somehow it'll work. So take it easy. We'll find out. All right? Now look at what Paul says in verse 2. He says, now I praise you, brethren. Now, keep in mind that we have seen a lot of criticism of this church from chapter 1 on. He called them carnal, said they were divisive and things like that. And yet, here he says, I praise you, and again he calls them brethren, which means brothers and sisters in Christ, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. I want to say something here about this matter of traditions. My understanding of this word in the English text and also in the Greek is this, that traditions were authoritative teachings that Jesus Christ gave to the apostles during his earthly ministry before his death, burial, and resurrection. And then after his death, burial, resurrection, during that 40 day of ministry. And in the case of Paul, Paul received direct teaching from the Lord after his conversion in the desert country. So authoritative teaching that Jesus gave to the apostles, and then the apostles transmitted this same authoritative teaching to others through their teaching, preaching, and their writing as they wrote under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so that what they produced, and that pen hit that paper, those words became sacred truth, the basis of our faith and practice. God's word in human words without error, the basis of faith and practice. We have to make a distinction between that concept of this word translated tradition and other traditions. For example, Washington Heights has a tradition. You have what, Sunday school? You have Sunday morning service? And you have a Sunday evening service. Show me chapter and verse in the Bible that tells you you're supposed to have three services on the first day of the week. Now that is a tradition. When I went to Bethel Baptist Church in Erie, Pennsylvania, we even had youth meetings before the Sunday evening service. Four plus Wednesday. Where do you find that? Tradition, tradition. Hey, fiddler on the roof, remember? Why do you do this? Tradition, tradition. That is not same thing that Paul is talking about here. And this word in verse 2 where he says, you keep the traditions just as I delivered them. Now, I have the New King James Version, and in the Greek text, the word traditions and delivered are based upon the same Greek word. I think the NIV might have the word teachings there. So you have different English renderings of it, but it's the same word. It's delivered, that which I have given to you from the presence of Jesus Christ as he taught us. Well, what is one of these authoritative teachings? It's a matter of the relationship of man and woman to the subject of headship. So that's our first point here. Understand the biblical concept of headship. There's a lot of misunderstanding on this whole matter of biblical headship within the family and within the church. Look what Paul says in verse 3 there. He says, I want you to know that the head of every man. Now, this word head in the Greek is the word head. It can refer to head, this head. It can refer to like the head of an organization, you might say. It could even refer to the original source of a river, the head water, that type of thing. He said, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Now, a lot of people get stuck on that one phrase in there, the head of woman is man. That's all they see. And they see red. And so what happens is that some women might say, I am not going to submit. And some men might say, I am going to show who's boss, right? But they forget about the rest of the verse. And the subject of headship as it pertains to man and woman must be seen against the very truth of the being of our God. The head of Christ is God. The same sense in which the head of Jesus Christ is God the Father has to be seen in the head of the woman is the man. Now, we worship one God eternally existing in three persons, we say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinitarian oneness of the divine being. Now, class, is the Father superior to the Son? Yes or no? Is the Jesus Christ superior to the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit superior to the Father? No. They are co-equal persons. They share equality within the divine oneness. There is no superiority or inferiority among the three persons of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The same way with men and women. We call this, by the way, to use a real fancy term, have you ever heard the term ontological? This is in God's ontological being, in God's ontological oneness, there is equality. The same way in the world of mankind. God has made mankind in his image. And man and woman are co-equally human. In their personhood, in their humanity, there is no inferiority or superiority of the male over the female or the female over the male. They're co-equally human. So, let me take you to this. I'm going to take you to a passage that might seem, and we may have gone to this before. I want to take you to John 13 and verse 16. John 13 and verse 16. These are the words of our Savior, actually given the night before he was crucified. Jesus said to his disciples, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So who is greater, the servant or the master? Well, he put it there. I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. I think what it means here is that in function and in purpose, the master is greater than the servant, and the one who sends is greater than the one who has sent. Now, come on over to chapter 14 and look at verse 28. Jesus said, "You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Now, a lot of heretical groups come to this verse and say, aha, aha, how can you say that Jesus Christ is God when Jesus Christ himself says the Father is greater than I? It's not an ontological greatness. It's not a personhood greatness. It is a purpose greatness, a function purpose greatness. The one who sends is greater than the one who is sent. And so I think this idea that the head of Christ is God is sent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Father sent the Son into the world to redeem the world. The one who sends is greater than the one who is sent in purpose and function. And in order to carry out then the purposes that God has for humanity, and especially for the family unit, there has to be function and purpose and order. And that headship goes to the male over the man. And it actually, I think, comes into the realm of the local church as well. That's why I personally do not believe that women can be pastors. So anybody getting hot? Well, that's a tough issue. It really is. It really is. Now, let's go to the next area. I hope I got that across a little bit. It's a tough area. Next point. Do not dishonor your head. Look what he says here now in chapter 11. He says, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered," referring to this, having his head covered, "dishonors his head," namely Christ. "Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head," namely man. "For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved." Now, he's not talking here about pastoring the church. He's talking about praying and prophesying. Women and men equally could pray in church in the presence of both sexes. Women and men together could prophesy even in the local church in the presence of both sexes. Personally, I have no problem myself in sitting in a class, a Bible class, or a class of how a Christian man should treat a Christian woman, or how a Christian woman should treat a Christian man, taught by a woman as she tries to bring to bear the teaching of God's word on their life. I have no problem with that. I have friends who would not do that, would not sit. But I can receive teaching from a K. Arthur and Beth Moore and others. And there have been some godly women who have ministered. And I can receive that, but not as a pastor who has a functional headship over the church. There's a little different story here. And of course, these people who are praying and prophesying, later on in chapters 12 to 14, he's going to talk about the gift of prophesying, which apparently some women had in the early church and expressed it in that day. Now, let's go on. I need to get my watch out here. I might not spot that. I'm not going over because of you know what. Right. Okay. says, now look, for if a woman is not covered, he says, let her also be shorn. But if it's shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. The idea is there must have been a problem that is where women would say, well, listen, if I can do the same thing in the service, pray and prophesy, and be equal in this, then why do I have to show this badge, this cultural badge of subordination to the head when we are co-equal in Christ? And that's true. We're brothers and sisters in Christ and so on. We're neither male nor female. We're co-equally justified, redeemed, reconciled, all those wonderful truths. Well, there might have been an issue here that a woman is saying, well, I'm going to just act like the man. And so Paul is speaking to this. He says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image of glory of God. Right, go back to Genesis 1, 2, 3. God said, let us make man in our own image. It actually does say in the text he created both male and female in his own image. But in the matter of order, he created Adam before he created Eve, correct? And then the woman is the glory of man. Now, for man is not from woman, right? Adam did not come from Eve, but woman came from man. Eve came from Adam. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. What did the Lord say? It is not good for man to be alone. So he made Eve. And we're all grateful for that. He says, for this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head. There's a recognition here of, again, this function, this order, this purpose that God has for the structure of the family and the structure of the local church. And I take it that what God did in creation, in the relationship of Adam and Eve, is to carry over into the structure of the local church as well. Just on a side note here, the issue would be difficult if here's husband A and wife A. Husband A is the head of wife A in the home to carry on the function. They're co-equal, naturally. But when you get into the church, wife A is the pastor. And now who is the head? Get the idea? And you submit to the authority of that. So there's a problem there that logically falls out. Okay. Now, let's come on over to verse 11. This is the next section. Men and women should complement each other. Now, I think that's true whether you spell it with an E or an I. C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. We should complement each other. Man needs the woman. Woman needs the man in order to carry out God's purpose for the family. And within the local church, man needs the woman and woman needs the man to carry out the function of the local church as well. But you should also complement, C-O-M-P-L-I-M-E-N-T, right? We husbands should complement our wives. Wives should complement our husbands. There ought to be this mutual admiration society between husband and wife. And I have found that many times when there are problems within marriages, even Christian marriages, people are not thanking God. When they go pray, they don't thank God for the other person or for one thing that this other person has done that's good, or two things. And you just say, thank you, I appreciate it. And it's pretty hard not to want to be with somebody that you are showing appreciation toward. Notice what he says here. Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. We need each other. We husbands and wives must pray with each other and for each other and for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and members of our family. People need the Lord. That means our family. And we need to ask the Lord to help us to minister to our own family. Even, he says, for as woman came from man, verse 12, even so man also comes through woman. Right. I came through my mother. Selma, Evelyn, Waddell, Gromacki. Not through my father, Sylvester Theodore Gromacki. And it wasn't later, it was much, much, much later that my brother and I found out, when somebody was doing a family history, that my father's original birth name was Francis Xavier Gromacki. About as Catholic as you can get it, right? Yep. Somewhere along the line, he changed his name of all things to Sylvester Theodore Gromacki. Sylvester the Putty Cat, you know. My brother Ron and I had a lot of fun with that, right? And like Sylvester Stallone, my dad was called Sil and many times Sly, which was like the nickname. But anyway, but I came from Mom. Mom gave birth to her two boys. And she never, never let us forget. Right. So, but all things are from God, right? We're all gifts of God. You know, I think of what we're going down to see. I've talked to you. Gloria and I are going down to see our great granddaughters, identical twins in West Palm Beach. And one of the things I think I'm going to say to Sarah and Britton is that somehow God has chosen you to have a unique privilege and responsibility to have twins, not just one twin, an identical twin. You have a great, great responsibility before God to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I remember when I performed the wedding ceremony for Sarah and Britton in Montauk, Long Island, I used the acrostic S-A-R-A-H, Sarah. The H stood for home. And the idea being that God will bless you with children. I want that to be a Christian home where you're dependent upon God. And both of them are needed. Amen? All right, now that brings us to the last point. Don't be contentious. This is a hard area. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of heat out there, not much light. But he says this, judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you, if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? I think the idea here is that if man has hair just as long as the woman, and the man is looking like the woman. Get it? It says, but if a woman has long hair, it's a glory to her. For her hair is given to her for covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, look at this. We have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. I think Paul is really trying to make a distinction between what we call that which is a thus saith the Lord, which is the proper understanding and application of the principle of headship that comes from the very being of God through the creation of Adam and Eve and has been passed all the way down through family and now in our day to the church. Making a distinction between that and how that is expressed in various generations and in various cultures. And when we teach in Bible and theology, we try to teach this. There's a difference between when you come to God's Word. We've got to see what is prescriptive. That is, that which is a principle, a truth that is given authoritatively by God through these 40 men who have given us these 66 books of the Bible. That which is prescriptive and that which is descriptive, which is simply a cultural tradition. And so I don't think a church has to have 4 services on Sunday. If they want to meet only once on Sunday morning, that's theirs. In the early church, if anything, they met once a week on the first day of the week, probably after the sunset for their evening meal. But we've developed all these other things, and they're good. They're wonderful. But there's a difference. This is what Warren Wiersbe said. And with, how many of you like to read Warren Wiersbe? Yeah, Warren Wiersbe is a great, great guy. And I have his book, right, his books on the B series right on my desk. I love to read him. He's a great, great guy. He said this, "In my ministry in different parts of the world, I have noticed that the basic principle of headship applies in every culture, but the means of demonstrating it differs from place to place." And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think it's different, for example, in the Amish world. I think it would be different in some Chinese culture, that type of thing. And I think it might even vary in various local churches in different parts of the United States of America as well. Folks, the best way to do is to love each other. Husband and wife, let's love each other. Care for each other. Read 1 Corinthians 13 often as the characteristics of love. Love gives to the other person. And may we do that as husband and wives, as members, as brothers and sisters in Christ that's in here. And the main thing is, let's exalt him. Amen? Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for our refreshment afterwards. Why don't we all stand and why don't we just grab hands, touch somebody else, and our Father and our God, how thankful we are for this faithful group of people. They come out Sunday night after Sunday night, no matter what the weather. They want to be with each other and with you. They want to open up the Bible. They want to sing these wonderful hymns that we read and sing about. Father, be with us. We know we have various ailments as we grow older. We thank you for these people who put forth so much effort. It'd be so easy to stay home, but they want to come out. We praise the Lord for them. Help us, our Father, to honor you and to glorify you in all that we do. May we have that attitude that Jesus has of being a servant. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. May we realize that when we love one another, we'd be willing to lay down our lives for each other. Help us to have that kind of love. Father, we pray that you'll be with us, watch over us during this time. And now we pray for this time of refreshment. We thank you for that. Strengthen us. We pray your blessing upon Washington Heights Baptist Church. Keep it solid. Keep it going forward. May people get saved and grow in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.